You know, this weekend, we really saw God do some incredible things. It wasn't like normal. You know, we've done, what is this, our 9th, maybe 10th conference, and it wasn't normal. And not discrediting any conference that we've ever done, but not being normal sometimes is really good. And we saw God really do some things in a unique way. We had 22 come from our church. We had 21 come from the Boys and Girls Club in Morristown. And so you're really blending a lot of different situations. You're blending a lot of different lifestyles. You're blending a lot of different backgrounds. You're blending a lot of things. And when you do that, it's naturally awkward. Would you agree? Matter of fact, isn't that what this Sunday morning kind of is? Every time we walk in here, we have different backgrounds, different cultures, different ideas, different things that we've experienced, different things that we've been challenged by, different things that we've gone through. And a lot of times what we'll do at the end of a conference is we'll bring the teenagers up and we'll let them just share what they received, which I'm not going to stop you from that. But what I am going to say is I believe that God does want a message to come out of this place today. And I believe that God wants to speak something into your life. This is really a first for me. This was a conference that normally when we go into the planning and we go into the doing, my hands are in it and we're figuring this out. But this year is the year that I really feel like God's telling me to take my hands off. Anybody else ever been told that? All right, I don't want you to practice this or try this, but it's almost the equivalent of driving down the road and God saying, let go of the wheel. Now, God's not really literally going to tell you to do that. But all of a sudden, you're in this vehicle that has power and vehicle that can do things, but you have no control. I don't know about you. It's hard for me to give up control of my life. Anybody say me too? And when I give up control of my life, I get very scared. Any me toos? But you know, sometimes God comes in and strips the control. Remember last week we talked about how God will prune us and God will remove things. You know why God does that? Because in the process, remember we talked about it's painful, but then it grows back stronger and it grows back healthier. I did nothing to plan this conference and it went amazing. And you know what God told me? I don't need you, but I want you. And you don't have to put in all the effort and you don't have to put in all this. You don't have to do it alone. God did not put you as the only person on the face of the planet. Therefore, God did not intend for you to do your life alone. God did not intend for us to be the only church. You know, I know we look around and we say, why are there so many churches? We should be saying, thank God there's so many churches. Let's use them. Let's pray that God fills them up and let's pray that God packs them out. Let's pray that God has his Holy Spirit pouring out in every ministry that's around us so that we see this unity come together, this blaze come together. Our entire conference, as you can see from their shirt, which I totally forgot to wear mine until one of the teenagers was like, where's your shirt? At home, all right? So it was Ignite. Andre had this laid on his heart and shared it with us, and God just really expanded it and grew it. And when you hear the word ignite, what do you think? Fire. You know, but without ignition, there is no fire, right? And matter of fact, our theme verse is 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 6 and 7. Let's pop those up there real quick, where it just simply says, this is why, and this is Paul talking to this church and reminding these people. He's saying, this is why I told you, all right? This is why I reminded you. You're going to have to fan these flames. The things that God does in your life, you're going to have to fan them. They don't naturally grow. We've said it so many times in our church and so many times in different settings. We do not naturally get better. There's no part of your life that will naturally get better. Your mind doesn't naturally go towards good things. Your life doesn't naturally go towards healthier living. We don't naturally grow, but intentionally things can happen. And so it says, I reminded you to fan into flames the spiritual gifts that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Then here's a very common verse. Matter of fact, when they put this one up, read it with me so that I'm not the only one that struggles with the last word of the second line. Now, just read it with me so it soaks in. Ready? Here we go. Ready? For God has not given us the spirit of fear and, okay, you got it, but of power, love, and sound discipline. Power. I mean, that's the ability to do something, right? Love, the method of which it should be done. Self-discipline becomes the ingredient that is oftentimes left out. You know, I don't know about you, but do you ever have moments in your life where you feel like your fire is burning out? whether it be in your relationships or whether it be in your workplaces or whether it be in your faith. I don't know about you, but my faith is one of the hardest things that it seems to hold on to in my life. It seems like when God calls me to great things, I lose great faith. And when God says, okay, we're going to do this, and matter of fact, me and my wife sitting on the our living room recliners yesterday, I made a statement, would you just pray that God continues to show me what he wants me to do with my life? And she's like, how can you come out of seeing what God just did and still doubt what God wants to do? And you say, well, yeah, how could you? Well, Elijah did the same thing. Elijah slays this army, right, of false prophets, and then a woman issues a threat, and Elijah's running for his life. Because he forgot the God that gave him the power and the love and ability to do what was just done. He runs. And so I realized this. God is that fire. That's what we taught them. You, and I want you to write it. If you're taking notes, get this. If you're watching online, this is what you need to grab. There is a fire, and you are not it. All right? There's a fire that's burning. There's a flame ablaze, but you're not it. And neither am I. Maybe if we titled a sermon today, that's what we'll call it, is you're not it. And we have a church and a generation of people that is overcome by anxiety and depression. Believe me, we've talked to teenagers. We don't even know who, because we literally did it lights out, our first service, out in the open, in the middle of the woods, with no light, no fire, nothing, so that nobody would feel exposed and nobody would be embarrassed. But we said, what are you scared of? What are you struggling with? And what did we hear? Doubt, fear. People don't understand me. Nobody listens to me. Nobody cares. Nobody's this and that. And you hear all this broken just flying out of the mouths of 12-year-olds. And then I realized there's a 41-year-old attached to that 12-year-old that feels the same way. There's somebody in a home that they'll go home to that feels the same way. And while we cannot reach the home in a conference, we can reach it through it. And we could see God do something, so we gave them index cards, and we told them, write down the things about your life or yourself that you hate and you can't stand. And somebody asked the question of courage, is anybody going to read these? He said, no, because we're going to light a fire, and there's a consuming fire, and you can throw your things and your junk and your sin on a fire. And the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. Aren't you glad that when you take it to God, it doesn't just sit there for everybody to see? When you take it to God, it burns up and goes away. How far are your sins away from God today? As far as the east is from the west, that's a not measurable metric, all right? How deep are your sins today? They're buried in the sea of his what? Forgetfulness. Matter of fact, Phil shared this with me at one point, and it really has ministered and echoed in my life. Why would God forget your sins to remind somebody else to remind you about them? Let that soak. Why, if God doesn't have it on his mind, would he lay it on the person that's going to come up to you and say, God's been revealing this to me, and let me tell you how bad you are? Because there's a God of grace and a God of mercy that says, hey, I love you so much that I'm not worried about this. Okay, you gave me junk. I'm getting rid of it because I don't want to hold on to the junk. Get this. God is not interested in holding on to your nasty today. God is more interested in hanging on to you. And he'll do whatever it takes to keep you. How many of you have had disappointment with somebody that you love? Would you say me? How many of you still love them? Me. How many of you have had a fight in your marriage? Me. Come on now. Me and Daniel ain't the only one. Sue, if Daniel's saying me, that has to include you too, right? All right? So here it is. How many of you have had a fight in your marriage? How many of you are still married? Did I hear somebody say maybe? I don't know. I thought I did. I had a pause for a second. Here's the thing, though. Listen, it's like this. I love my kids, so I can handle their junk. I love them, so I can handle. I love my wife, so I can handle her junk. My wife loves me, so she can handle my. Yeah, I want you to understand this. If we're gonna make it, we've got to come to this understanding of God is the flame, and that's why your sins can disappear like that today. That's why your insecurities can become strengths. That's why your worries can become confidence and courage. There is a fire, but you're not it. You're the vessel. And here's the beauty of it. You're the vessel of which the fire wants to live. You're the heart and the life and the soul of which the fire wants to shine through. God wants to reveal himself through the world. And you know how he wants to reveal himself to the world? Through your life and through mine. Through your testimony and through your story and through mine. So in this conference, part of the things that we do is breakout sessions. We only had two this year. I thought they were incredible. Casey did one on identity. And I have found this to be very true in my life. If my identity isn't where it needs to be, then it's going to be very hard to have God where he needs to be. If my identity isn't secure, if your identity isn't secure, then we supplement, don't we? The compliment that somebody gives you today becomes the anthem of which, or the fuel of which you continue to go, or the decision of which you stop going at all. The praise for the things you did. You know, I had to grab Travis, and I made sure to message DJ because they drove, what is it, about an hour and a half round trip, Rich, just to set up the music instruments and the sound, and nobody ever saw them. They left before everybody got there. And then they came and they took all that equipment away just so that we could have two services where they sing. And I'm going to tell you, that's a big part of it. You know, Rich made a huge donation that made it free. Made it free. And I don't normally call people out like that, but a lot of kids got to come because they didn't have to pay the $110 to $150 that it normally cost. And as people are getting saved and things are happening like that, then it's the people that are behind the scenes that are making those things take place. The ladies and the men that got up at 5, 6 o'clock every morning to cook food. Rachel and Chelsea did a great job, and others too. And then, you know, our workers, Tim, Tabitha, who falls downstairs, and Casey, and, you know, Rich, Lisa, and Carly, and others. I mean, it just goes Rachel, not that Rachel, but that Rachel, and all the ones that came together, and we look at it, and we just say, you know what? Man, it's good when you don't have to do it alone. It's good when you don't have to do it on your own. But if your identity isn't in check, you feel like it's all on you. So Casey, where are you at? Grab a microphone and tell us a little bit about identity.
Hello? Okay. Cool thing is you just call my things I was going to say. And I kind of heard God tell me when I got up here is don't look at your notes. Don't look at your notes and tell them what you have learned through the struggles in your life. And a verse I always go back to is Psalm 139. God knows you. Nothing else in your life that happens is going to affect how God looks at you. What the world sees is dirty, but God sees holy. They see alone, and he sees loved. He can turn a mess to a message and a test into a testimony. Amen. The God that I know says I am his, says I am chosen, says I am loved, adored, everything. And I think it was me and Tabitha, we were talking about it one night, and we were talking about what identity truly even is. There's a misconception in the world of what identity is. People want to say, oh, pitiful me, look at me. No, look at God. What is God trying to tell you in this moment in time? The question I asked God during this time, I did not want to teach. I wanted to tell Andre, hey, I'm not doing it. And I heard God tell me, hey there, kid. Are you going to listen to what the devil's trying to tell you or what I'm trying to tell you? And I heard that little voice over here say, you can't do it. You're shamed. You have all these thoughts, suicidal thoughts, anxiety. You can't teach them what identity is. And I had to shut it out. And I had to make a complete 180-degree turn. And to look, what God was telling me is that I am redeemed. I will lift you out of that pit, amen, out of that mud, yeah, out of the despair, and set you on a solid foundation, set you on the firm feet of what God is trying to say. The God I serve, he says I'm his. Amen. The sins that you had before, like Josh was saying, he cast it into the sea to never be seen again. So the shame that you feel today can be turned into glory in an instant. The identity that we should take on is that we are a child of God. God tells us that. And my counselor always asks me every question, every time before we start, he says, who are you? Before I would say I'm shamed, I'm ugly, I'm stupid. But now I can stand on a firm foundation through Psalm 139 and say I am known. I have a purpose. And I have a meaning to be here. And that's what identity is to me. To step back and to realize at their age, that's a hard thing to know. It's a very hard thing. even for me, even for anybody else, even the older generation, anybody, when you have to shut up for a second and to be still and to listen to what God is trying to tell you. He's called you worthy. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going, everything comes around in a circle and it all smacks back into God. All it takes is just a moment, just a breath.
You know, in the book of John, I think it's chapter number 4, it's where God took us yesterday at the angelic ministries. You see Jesus walk up to a guy that's been lame for 38 years. And God just really hit me with it as I was sitting there. A year to almost to the day was the first time I had ever preached since I stepped away. And it was in that place. And you know, in the story, you see this pool of Bethesda where if somebody that was lame could get in it when the angels stirred the waters, they could be immediately cured. And so Jesus steps up to this guy and he says to him, he says, do you want to be healed? And you know what the guy says? I can't. I mean, NLT version, that's the first two words of the next response. I can't. And then his next response was, I have no one. Man, that sounds common in my mind. Does it sound common in yours too? Hey, I want you to stand up and lead a small group. I can't. What if no one? What if no one comes? Then you and God is a majority. But I can't step away from this addiction. I can't step into this thing. I can't. And the truth is, and please write it in your notes, you're absolutely right. You cannot. Remember we talked about it in just that John 15 last week. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, I got nobody. And isn't it good that when everybody else has ran out of your life, Jesus is stepping in. And here's this guy that's got nobody in his life, nobody willing to put him in. And he's watching person after person healed. He's watching somebody else. And some of you are doing the same. Some of you are lonely, and yes, we talk about marriage, but you're not married, and you don't know if that's ever going to happen in your life again. And so when people are celebrating their love, that loneliness is echoing in your mind, and while you're watching other people come alive, you're wondering if God even sees you. And as he's screaming, I can't, no one will put me in. And as I'm trying to get in, as I'm putting it in my own effort, my own identity, somebody else beats me. And what does Jesus do? He looks at him and says, stand up. Pick up your bed and walk. See, a lot of us were looking at it and saying, okay, if I could just be good enough, then I could be somebody. If I could just make enough, then I could help somebody. If I was talented enough, I could minister. If I was this, or if I had this, or I could do this, then I could. But Jesus steps in and says, all you need is me. And if you have me, you'll stand and you'll walk and you'll do things you've never done before. And when we get to it, we need a church that says, okay, you know what? In me, my righteousness is just like your righteousness. How good is our righteousness, Kenny? It's not good at all. It is filthy rags. Isn't that what the Bible says to you? It says the same to me. That on my own, I'm not good enough. But thank God I don't have to wear my righteousness today. I can be clothed in his, and so can you. But you know what? To put your identity in Christ, and that takes some courage. And courage isn't the ability to do something because you're strong. Courage is the willingness to do what you know you're not strong enough to do. The willingness to step out when you're afraid to do it. The willingness to go on when you don't want to. The willingness, some of you did it today. The willingness to get out of bed when depression says, just lay here. The willingness to go to church when the Satan says you'll get nothing or people will judge you. I hear that all the time. You know, I don't want to go to church because I'll get judged. Yeah, have you ever heard that? You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I guarantee if they went to most churches, nobody would even know them enough to judge them. But yet Satan has them so condemned already that they feel like to go out into public that they will receive judgment. Isn't that something? Courage says, judged or not, I know who I am, but I know who he is and I need him. So the next thing we talked about in a small group was courage. David?
So with courage, God wants us to be bold, confident, and courageous. So to do that, this weekend, I used an acronym of the word courage, and we broke it down. So with courage Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is moving through that fear with God. So with the acronym C of courage, stands you need to commit to change. O, you got to overcome the obstacles. You need to uncover your true self. R, you want to replace all worldly lies with spiritual truth. A, you got to accept the things that you cannot change. G, you got to grasp God's love for you. And E, you have to embrace a life of grace. So about 2-3 weeks ago, I went through and asked about 20 different people, and I asked them this question. I said, if you were at school, if you were at a store, wherever you were at, and you saw somebody in need, somebody sitting there, you can tell they're broken, and you heard God say, go to them, tell them you were loved. Tell them, hey, can I pray with you? Would you do it? The majority of the answer I got was no. So this is just an example representation. If you guys, the five of you that I called out. This here represents the world. This represents you. This is God. All right, so, Emily, Coulson.
I'm afraid of what they'd say.
All right. Emily. If right now, if you saw, he said he was afraid of what other people will say.
It's fine. Probably scared of, like, what to say, like, to them.
Emily, Champ.
Afraid that I won't say the right thing.
Robbie.
Afraid that maybe it's not that important.
Lexi.
How they would take it or how they would respond to it.
Tanasia.
What people would think of me.
All right, so now you are filled with all this fear. All right, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So this is God. The more that I read the Bible, I pray, the more that I'm surrounded by God's love, godly people, and I'm having other people's flames ignite me more, God pours into me. But then I stop. God's still here, but I'm still full of fear. The only way to continue to go is I had to continue to pray, continue to read the Bible. The more I do it and the more God pours into me, my fears all disappear. Once all my fears have disappeared, God is still pouring into me. Now I'm pouring into the world. All right? So, just because the fear is gone, is the fear ever going to come back? Absolutely. It's going to come back. It's going to always be there. But no matter what, God's got it. God keeps it to the top. It's never going to sink down. It's never going to stay in. Because absolutely, no matter what, it's always right there. God's always protecting each and every one of you.
Now on these balls, each of them, he had taken the response of every person he had pulled. And he had written these on, so he went probably about a good 35 minutes into this analogy. Isn't that a great analogy? Matter of fact, I don't even think he planned it, but the one that's on the top is the one that contains the most. What would keep you from serving God? What fears? Friends, drugs, lying, self-esteem, bullying, sex, fear, lifestyle, pornography, family, judgment, depression. I mean, this is a real ball right here, isn't it? Do you see how identity works? If you're not centered in letting Christ fill you, and it's a constant flow, and what I love about it, and as I was sitting there, if he'd have kept pouring, and as you're pouring into the world, their fears would start falling out too. It's a constant thing of, okay, you know what? Today, give me today my daily bread. Anybody else hear that song? My cup, what's it doing? It overflows. And who is it overflowing for? The benefit of you? The benefit of others around you. But so many times we get so filled with our fear and our identity is so misplaced. we don't allow that God that wants to consume our lives to be the one that's leading our lives, to be the one that's given us a foundation of which we can stand on and not have to worry. Hey, can I tell you this? We can't, and we told our teenagers this, we can't take the bad out of the world for you, and we can't take the bad out of your life. We can't take away the things you did or the things that people say. We cannot take it away. Jesus can. I can't cleanse from your mind today the things that are holding you back, but Jesus can consume your mind so greatly that what's been holding you back just naturally gets washed away. Matter of fact, if we were talking about sin, we could quote the verse, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. If we sing this old song, it goes way back. Are you washed in the blood? How many of you know it? Sing it. In the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because if you're washing today, trying to make your good works make you clean, you do not have the right soap and you will stay dirty. If you're washing today thinking that what people think of you is going to make you feel more alive, you're not washing in the right things. And I'm going to tell you, what they think of you today may change tomorrow. And what they say about you today may change tomorrow. But matter of fact, can I just say that we're a lot of times talking about the bad things, but even the people, hey, if they're saying good things about you today, it can turn bad tomorrow. But if they're saying bad things about you today through Jesus Christ, it can turn good tomorrow if you just let your identity get centered and take courage and say, I'm going to submit to God's will. Matter of fact, I was going to preach from Galatians today. I'm going to totally ruin a sermon in 5 minutes. You ready? In Galatians chapter 4, we find this parallel where Paul's trying to teach the Galatian church that all these rituals that they are doing are worthless. They're being taught that they have to get circumcised in order to be saved. And if you know Jewish custom, circumcised was what set them apart, clean to unclean. But when Jesus died, he did a spiritual circumcision, so physical circumcision was no longer needed. And when he did spiritual, that means he cut away the nasty of you. Your sin and your old life, which you once were known by, is now gone, and you've been raised anew with Christ. Somebody say it with me. I am new. Go. I am new. And you know what? If you were new yesterday and that's where God remade you, then today, if you don't feel too new, you can be renewed, all right? And so say it with me. I am renewed. Say it. I am renewed. And every day, his mercy, it replenishes. And every day, his grace is in abundance. And even David, when writing the psalm, would say, surely your goodness and mercy will follow me. You have a stalker today. And it's not somebody trying to tear you down. It's somebody protecting you and guiding you. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And when he is ahead of me, his guard dogs are beside me. They're behind me and they're watching everything. And when I mess up, here comes his mercy. And when I need blessing, here comes his goodness. You're never alone. You're never on your own. You don't have to worry. And Galatians, he looks at him and he says, you're trying to do all these things that are not going to help you at all. That's why Galatians 5 starts with, hey, just because you've received Christ, now be free, be rooted. Don't return to the bondage of the law. You know what he's saying? Don't return to the idea that you have to be enough. Accept the idea that God made you enough. And that even if you're never enough for the rest of the world, you're enough in heaven and enough in the mind and heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave for me. We like to talk about how he did that for the rest of the world. But he truly did that for me. And he truly did that for you. You know what I find, David? I'm going to mess with your illustration here for a second, if that's okay. I find a lot of times I believe this. Oh, man, this sounds really good in church. Would you agree with me? That was a pretty sick analogy. That was awesome. Sick is a good thing for all you old people, all right? Like, that was a really good thing. Would you? When he did that, I looked at Andre. We made eye contact across the room. I was like, that was good. That was good. I don't know about you, but I try to fill my cup. But then something happens in the day or somebody says something and I stop pouring this in and I start picking these things back up. Anybody else do that? Say, me too. I can't see you. Okay. And I got some God in me, but I don't have God in control of me. Please write this in your note, big letters. Ready? Some God is not enough God. Some God is not enough. Sunday God is not enough for Monday. Let me go back to that statement. How can you just experience a conference like this and still have that? Because some God is not enough. Matter of fact, teenagers, I'm going to speak to you for a second. Those of you here and those of you out here. Those of you that went and those of you that didn't, listen to me. That conference cannot be the end of your growth. It cannot be what you lean on to keep you from going back to things that you have said you're not going back to. It can't. It's not enough. It was good. It was great. It's not enough God for you. Just as you receive Christ, now root yourself. It means I've constantly, every day, got to realize that if God's renewing his mercy, it's because I'm renewing my fears. If God's renewing his grace, it's because I'm renewing my sins. If God's renewing himself, it's because I'm renewing myself. And every day, I need more God. Because some God is not enough. Isn't it amazing that even when your fears stay, it doesn't crush you? It doesn't. Hey, don't you hear Paul when you see those balls on top saying, we are pressed, but not crushed. Persecuted, not destroyed. Hey, we're going through all these things, but we're not abandoned. You may be going through a season of death in your family, and you may be going through a season of hardship in your life, and you may be going through a season of I don't know what to do, or I don't know where to turn. Hey, that season is not worth worshiping. And that season is not permanent. And that season has no power over your life. Greater is he that is in here than he that is in the world. We got to have the identity right, but we got to have the courage to trust God to build the identity. The fire is him. And Paul says he ignites himself through the Holy Spirit in us. But we got to fan these flames. We need some self-discipline, don't we? Please write this down. You want self-discipline in a nutshell. Let me give it to you in a sentence. Then I'm going to turn it over to Andre. If you got anything, take it. If you don't, just close it. Is that okay? Self-discipline is simply this. The ability to realize that all I need is God. And to do whatever it takes to keep God in the middle of my life. Self-discipline recognizes, I can't do it on my own. So I'm going to obey God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to lean on God. I'm going to acknowledge God. And in all things, believe God's promises for my life. You say, well, how does that require self-discipline? Because I am stubborn. Anybody, me too? I am foolish. Me too. And discipline says, why am I trying to do this on my own today? Why am I trying to do this without him? Why haven't I prayed? Why haven't I talked to God? Why am I making this decision without going through his word? Why am I acting like this? Why am I talking to somebody like this? Why not just trust the promises of God? You live in an evil world, and so do I. Would you agree with me? But the Bible says that the only way to conquer evil is what? Good. Romans 12. Don't repay evil with evil. Evil never conquers evil. Evil is always conquered by doing good. But you can't do good in an evil world if you're relying on yourself, because you're going to get contaminated by the world around you. You know, it's like this. If you walked into the dorm rooms of all these kids, they stayed in bunk houses. It was like a camp setting. If you walked in there and you did those things, it smelled like feet. Why do you think it smelled like feet? Because as you play and you run and you do all those other things, you start to do something. It's a five-letter word. Anybody know it? Stink. And I'm going to tell you this now. Yeah, it's five letters. All right. Stink. I was like, is that hard? All right, so here it is. Understand this. If you're going out in the world, if you're going in the world and you're working in the world and you're laboring in the world, then eventually guess what you're going to do? You're going to smell like it. You're going to feel like it. You're going to look like it. And you know what God says? Hey, self-discipline realizes that every day you need a shower. And every day you need deodorant. And every day brush your teeth. Am I right? And we look at that and we're like, yeah, if you do that, you're going to smell right. But hey, every day get on your knees. Stand before God. Drive down the road. Sing a praise song. Lift a verse. Get the word of God in your life. Every day just shower in God and watch the stink of the world just wash away. Because I'm going to tell you something. Somebody in your life is going to try to make their opinions more valuable to you than God's opinion of you. And somebody in your life is going to try to say what they believe you should do for the Lord. And if you're not careful, you'll be doing what their opinion states instead of serving the Almighty God who shaped your life, formed your life, secured your life, redeemed your life, and wants to use your life in a powerful way. It cannot be about what's going on around you. You just got to shower in Jesus. We sang it last week, that what can wash away my sins? But that next phrase of that song is so good. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's not in you. It's in him. There's a reason you're on the stage. I saw you come up. What's up? You got something? Oh, he made you? Okay, I got you. All right, go, Andre.
All right, so Casey, I hope you're ready. I'm going to get completely out the way because since the conference, since everything, God gave me a vision coming home from a beach trip, vacation, and I seen 6 to 7 small fires break out along the highway. And I was like, how in the world do they break it? How are these fires just breaking out along the highway and there's nobody there putting the fire, you know, making the fire? And God began to speak to me, and he said, you remember the promise I told you when you was 19 that you was going to set the young generation on fire for God? Well, I think this is the start. I think this is the beginning of something that God wants to do. And as Josh was talking around the campfire in the dark, I lit the torch, and I realized something, that it is not my light that shines best. It is when we all come together with the common light that our flames can come together, would make a bigger light and a bigger presence of who God is. We had young people talk about, we had one young man whose sister gave birth to a child and the child died. And here he is, weeping. Have another one talking about suicide. We have another one that had lost a family due to COVID. And I can keep going on and on about all their testimonies and everything that they was dealing with and things that they was talking about. And only thing I could think of, or only thing that kept coming on me, was just a hard passion for young people. That I don't want them, and please don't take this the wrong way, I don't want them to be our age just now getting it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I want them to get it now.
Yeah.
Are they still like a little undeveloped in their maturity? Yes, but Jesus is not. And if Jesus can do it at 12, what more can he do with a bunch of young people that's willing? So I asked Hannah's mom to come up here, and this is where I'm going to get out the way. And Josh, you can help me. We're going to sing that song. Remember the song that they sung going over to the campfire? We're going to sing that song. And this is an open invitation. Let me just be real. Adults, put yourself to the side. We got issues. If you didn't have issues, then you wouldn't be in the seat. This generation has some issues. When was the last time we ever really thought about praying for the young people? Whether they're in youth, whether they're over in the children's building, and teenagers. Remember we talked about prayer a couple weeks ago? When was the last time you just prayed for them? If we're going to do anything, if you want to just go ahead and start twirling, I noticed something about a fire. That if it's not tended to, or if a wind is not blowing, it'll eventually die. And overnight, it's going to get good. We don't attend the flame. But if we wake up the next morning and we begin to just blow a wind over it, those ashes will become hot. It will begin to burn again. And eventually, guess what you'll have? A fire. It's not about you. It's about what he wants to use you for. Maybe you're going to be that breath. Maybe you're going to be that action to help kindle that fire that represents who Jesus is. So during this time, if you need prayer, we got some leaders. We got some young people. We can attach you to anybody and we can pray. Come on up here. Let us get right with God. Because what are we here for anyway? We're not here just to hear a message. We're here to get all the junk up out of our lives. No matter how good we think we are or how good we think we got it, we are toe up from the flow up. That's why we're here. So while we're here, how about let's just put Jesus where Jesus needed to be. He's at the altar, an all-consuming fire. So when you throw something into it, you don't have to worry about it. It may come back up, but guess what? I still serve a God that is all-consuming, all-knowing of who he is and to us. So if you're going to throw anything, some of y'all may not need to throw sin. It may not be sin. It might just be your pride or you and your thoughts. Your hurt, your pain. It's not about always sin. It's just sometimes we just got to get consumed with the fire of who he is in our lives. Some of y'all are just dead coals. But if you get around some coals that are burning, you'll begin to catch fire. So that's all I want to thank y'all, each and every one of y'all. And whoever comes up, begin to pray for them. Check this out. Don't do it by yourself. Go get a friend and go to the person with them so you can have help. Because if we're going to do this, we got to do it together. So right now, and if you need prayer, I know she needs some prayer. She's probably praying for y'all. Can I get a couple girls just to come over here and begin to support? Can I get a couple ladies to come over here and support? This young man just gave a good word earlier. We know that he's been going through. Can we get some couple guys to come over here and show some support? Don't miss out on your moment. I tell the young people all the time, it's not about you. It's about me. Because the Bible says work out your own salvation. But guess what? At the end of it, it's still not about you. It's about him and what he wants to do in our lives.
No place I would rather be. Here in your love. Here in your love. No place I would rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down. That I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. And here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. And here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. More of you. Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.
Oh, not for a minute
was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.
Not enough.
Unless you come, will you meet me here again? All I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I is all you are.
Can you sing it? Can you sing that not for a moment? Let's hear it. Sing it, church.
Not was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.
One
time. Was I forsaken? The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. Lord is in this place.
We've got to get to a place to where we're just saying, God, we just want to do it your way, all the way, unhindered. I want to see God fully moving in my life and in yours. Anybody else say, you know, there's a lot in my life I haven't gotten right, but I'm going to get this right. When it comes to this, I'm going to get this right. We're gonna let God have his way and God do his thing, and let's just pray and let's just watch. Let's just see what God can do. Let's just see what God is capable of. I firmly believe in our world today we have yet to see the capabilities of God. We've seen the love of God. Would you agree? We've seen the mercy of God. But what about the capabilities of God? What about that power, that movement, that miraculous healing and resurrecting God? I believe that that's possible. We have believers like this. My identity in him, your identity in him, and let's let him be the rest. Church, we're at a season that we really need you to really know what God is speaking to you, what God is saying through you, and we need you to respond. Not because grace needs it, but there's a community around us that needs it, and there's a world around us that needs it. Highways and hedges that need people going in, fields of harvest that need laborers to go. Will you pray with me that grace becomes more than a service, more than a small group, more than a recovery ministry, more than the walls of a building or the boundaries of a campus? That grace becomes a living, breathing reflection of God. To where wherever we are, whether that's working or whether that's in our homes or whether that's in our schools or whether that's right here gathering together celebrating Jesus, that God is glorified, that God is magnified, that God is seen. I love it. Everywhere Jesus went, something changed. Someone changed. and that town did not stay the same. And I don't know about you, but I'm praying that for Jefferson County, praying that for Cobb County, praying that for Hamblin County, praying that for Sevier County, praying that for all the counties that are touching our borders. May God take us into a place that is, if we were living biblical times, may it be as if Jesus just stepped into the community, and when he left, the community was not the same. May that be our prayer. I'm going to give you an opportunity, and I want you to be praying about it. October 31st. Anybody know what day that is? We're not going to shy away from it. There's a part of me that says, okay, do we do this? Do we do that? So we sat down with our Wednesday night crowd. We sat down with our team lead for our children, Whitney, and our secretary, Rachel. And we've decided to do a trunk or treat fall festival hybrid. So where we're going to have cars, and we're trying to get 30 cars to be in the trunk or treat. We're going to do blow-ups, we're going to do events, we're going to face paint and pumpkin paint and all those things from 4 to 6 on Halloween, but we really need you. And not just some of you. We need everybody. That would come and say, okay, let's make this a holy day. I don't want it to be just where people drive up, get candy, and leave. I want them to be loved and nurtured and to experience God. We cannot do it with just a few. If you look around, there's not just a few of us in here. From the oldest to the young, can you pray about being a part of this event and what God would do? We're doing 4 to 6, so you can still take your kids and do whatever you want that evening. But there's a sign-up sheet right outside that we would love for you to sign up as you leave. Let us know if you're going to bring a car. Let us know if you're going to decorate a trunk. Start bringing in candy. It's in shortage. So when you're in the store, grab bags so that we have it to give out. But can we pray that God moves in a mighty way? That we just see people's lives change, families come together, a healthy, safe environment for our children to be able to have fun and experience God. That's the 31st. Don't forget, Miss Tracy's going to be at the back door. Some of you are going to go get your kids. I know that. And then you're going to be tempted to leave. Make a circle back and get a flyer from Tracy. Or Tracy, give half of those to Rich right there, and we'll head them off at this door. Is that okay, Rich? All right. And grab one. Take it with you. Let's start supporting life-giving resources, God-giving resources, and let's just see what God can do. See what God can do. Have you been blessed today?
Amen.
Are you thankful for these teenagers, for Andre, the youth team, and all they do? Will you give them a hand? They do a great job. Your worship is beautiful. What a beautiful worship. Hey, let's celebrate. We'll have our family meeting in about 10 minutes. Go get your kids. That's a fancy word for business meeting. It'll be in 10 minutes, all right? Go get your kids. God bless you. We love you. Thank you. You're dismissed.